anymore.
Yeah, those guys are nuts. These guys are insane. I think the parachute's open. I think. Didn't show that. How you guys doing? Good morning. So far, so good? You guys happy? Did you come to church happy? Anybody getting a fight on the way here? Anybody? Yeah, you want to admit it? No? Yeah. I'm having a day. Didn't get in a fight, but I'm having a day. So it's just the way it goes sometimes. But like those guys, maybe like some of you, I enjoy a good adventure. And those guys are certifiable, I agree. But there was a point in time in my life when I might have actually considered doing something kind of like that. I'm just kind of that personality. For years, I worked at a bungee jumping place, and I was that guy, and I've jumped motorcycles, and I've jumped cars, and I've skydived, and I was writing down some of the things. I've been did a lot of rodeo, been bucked off horses, gone rock climbing in the Rocky Mountains, jumped off a railroad bridge into a river. I jumped 100 feet into an airbag one time. That hurt. I've jumped onto a moving train. I've jumped off of a moving train. I actually laid underneath the tracks of a moving train. Certifiable when I was young. And maybe, like me, maybe some of you enjoy a good adventure. And some of that was a little over the top. But I always enjoyed a good adventure. And lately, I've kind of refocused my adventure habits to be a little more productive, a little more safe nowadays. And I try to find adventure in other ways. And maybe like you, you look for it through other means. Maybe it's through your job or your business. And you do all that you can to find great adventure in that. But the reality is, at least for me, there comes a point in time when even that starts to kind of fall short, just a little bit. Because at some point in time, I begin to know all the ins and outs of the job and the business and how it's going to go. I know the ebb and the flow. I know the challenges that are going to be there. I know when the boss is going to say this and this and this, and I know I need to do this and this and that. I know what I need to do in order to make this happen there, and it's just kind of routine. You know what I mean? And it just kind of comes to a place where it's just life. And the adventure is all about the retirement account? Really? Is that the adventure? And suddenly the job just becomes more like the job. And it's not that great adventure you thought you were going to have many years ago. Almost at times feels like the movie Groundhog Day. You remember that one? And every day it's just kind of the same. We know what to do. We know what the boss is going to say. And really? That's my adventure? And I go home and I know what to expect from the wife, and I know the kids, and I know the routine, and do the homework, and get that done, and then sports, and then dinner, and then off to bed, and it's just kind of the same thing. And the danger, at least for me, is that it even can seep into my own spiritual walk, into my relationship with God, too. There's been times in my life that I've seen pastors and ministers who've been up front, and they say, man, your relationship with God ought to be a great adventure. It should be so exciting because God isn't boring. And I look at that guy, and he's often been an older fella in suit, tie, carrying a hefty Bible. I'm like, really? You're the poster boy for the great spiritual adventure? Doesn't really ring true for me. Honestly, it just doesn't. And I kind of struggle with some of that. I just don't see it. From the church on Sunday morning, come in, sing a few songs, stand up, sit down. Guy says, sing louder, sing quieter. Do some announcements. Pastor stands up. Maybe he's funny that day. Maybe he's not. Depends who's speaking. And he sits down after 25 minutes, stand up, do another song. Offering goes by, put a little money in the till, and go home. Man, that was exciting. Really? And I kind of struggle with that. Because we want people to know that there really is a spiritual adventure, but Sunday morning, is that it? Is that And I think that therein lies part of the problem, because I think that a lot of times people would identify God's adventure with a Sunday morning service. And it clearly is not the case. At least it ought not to be. It shouldn't be. And I'll tell you what, I think we try really hard to make church exciting and relevant, because I don't think God's boring. So church ought not to be boring either. I mean, God made you. Clearly you're not boring. God has a sense of humor. And we can bring that and show that in different ways here, even at church. This past month, there was a gentleman, his name is Donald Miller. He wrote a book a few years ago called Blue Like Jazz, and it was a bestseller. Maybe some of you have heard of it. Maybe some of you may have read it. But he is now a well-known blogger. And he wrote in his blog this week, actually a couple of weeks ago, he said he was no longer planning to attend church. He still loved God, but the church didn't work for him. He didn't connect with God through music, and he felt that the teaching had become mundane and old-fashioned. And then he supported his statements through his own study of psychology. And the backlash was swift, including some major guys in the Christian world, a guy named Ed Stetzer and a few others, had their things to say about it. And it was exactly the same issue of, come to church and I don't really connect. I don't really feel like this is the great adventure. And that's basically what he was saying. So let me just say this. I think that God's adventure is clear, and I think that Sunday morning has a role in it, but maybe not the role that many people think that it does. I got a couple of kids, and I love to go play with my kids and wrestle and tussle and all that. And occasionally, we will go to the neighborhood swimming pool, all right? And I love going to the pool. Any of you dads or have been? Okay, lots of you. And what do you do when you go to the pool with your kids? What it would, maybe if your kids are like mine, my kids will say they repeatedly, "Dad, please come in the water. Please come in the water and play," right? They just want, because you are the human jungle gym. If you are like me, and I have rotator cuff issues now, and pain and joint, it's just absurd, and I attribute it all not to my insanity, but to swimming with my, so we're in the pool, and they're climbing on me, and they're doing the three pyramids, and then I'm trying to lift them in the air, and, you know, throw me, and they don't weigh 20 pounds anymore. You know, there's not a lot of air time, and just, oh, you gotta be kidding. You know, I'm too old for this stuff. And then what do they say? Dad, let's go off the diving board, honey. You look like a whale, yeah. Now we're in the deep end. Let's swim down and touch the bottom. Yeah, let's go. My ears are popping. It hurts now. And then occasionally they'll say this, they want to play this game. Dad, what? Dad, what? Let's swim to the bottom and see how long we can hold our breath. Yeah. And so I'm like, all right, I'll tell you what, I will count and I'll watch. And so my kids dive down there to take a huge breath, and down they go, 15 feet. And they'll be down there for whatever. And I have a keen eye. And then eventually, they will come shooting up to the surface. And I'll be watching with my goggles on, and they come running up. And the bubbles are just streaming out their nose, and they're just coming up to the air, just coming up to breach the surface as quickly as possible. And they come up, and they come up, and as they hit the water, what do? They just gasp. And they breathe in the air. And I grab my kid, and I pull him over to the side. I'm like, great job. That was awesome. They're like, how long was I down there? Like 5 minutes. I'm like, yeah, 4 seconds. That was awesome. 5 minutes? Yeah, pretty close. 4 seconds. I think they're more afraid than they are actually losing the breath. That's what Sunday morning is. That's what a Sunday morning service is. Sunday morning service is about coming up for breath. Sunday morning service is coming here and going, and taking it in. It's knowing that you've gone out for an adventure all week long, walking hand in hand with God, and then coming here and just needing a breath of God. Amen. And it's being surrounded by like-minded people that grab you, pull you to the side, say, great job, and they tussle your hair. Tell me about your week. What have you done? What's been going on? That is what a Sunday morning service is. And it's been reminding of the fact that we are here because it's all about the one. It's all about what God has done for us. And that just demands that I reply with a great adventure. I will do whatever I can to honor God throughout the week. And then I will come here to worship him. And if you show up here on a Sunday morning and you're not gasping for air, then I'm just saying, what are you doing here? What are you doing? What are you doing in your week that you can actually make a decision whether or not you want to come today or not? And what are you doing? Because that's exactly what Sunday morning is. My hope and prayer for you today, and by the way, I think that most of you that are here today don't need this talk because you were willing to adventure the storm and make it. Literally, I almost feel like that because there's a lot of people who are, you know, in bed going, it's raining, let's not go. My hope is that when we walk out of here this morning, you will consider how to have an adventure with God.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe to reinstill that in yourself. And maybe recommit some of that in your walk with your Heavenly Father. So let's pray together and then we'll dive into God's Word and learn from a great story in here. All right, will you pray with me? Can you bow your head? God, I just pray that you will do a work in our lives this morning. And God, I just pray that you would help us to focus in on you. For some of us who are struggling and that are coming up for breath, God, I pray that you would speak to them in some way. That you would use me in some little way to speak truth from your word. And that really they're just going to hear a word from you. Restore them. Replenish them. Allow them to sense who you are. And God, for some of us, we're doing well. Just help us to not just live through a mundane life, but to be excited about who you are and to recommit ourselves and to wrestle with some of this stuff. Help us to leave this room today with things to consider, things to wrestle with. And to be moved and challenged. God, I pray that you would take the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart, that they would be pleasing to you. In your name, amen. All right, if you have a Bible, I need you to turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers is near the beginning. It's the fourth book in the Bible. So you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers. Leviticus. My kids have a hard time remembering Leviticus. They say Leviticus. Numbers chapter 13 will be there in just a second. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. When I was a kid, well, before I was born, my parents were going to name me after the character we're going to look at. And then they quickly changed it at the very end and they decided to name me Paul. So I was completely disappointed with that because when I found that out. But I love this Bible character so much that I named my own son after him. I thought it was cool. So this is a great story. It's one of my favorite Bible characters, like I said. And just to give you a little background before we even look specifically, you recall the story of Moses. Most of you do. Even if you're new to church, some of you heard of Moses. So Moses has been charged to take the nation of Israel out of Egypt. So God calls them, and then there's the whole Red Sea incident. The parting of the sea, you remember that? And the Ten Commandments. And all of this stuff has happened. And now they are on the threshold of and about to step into the promised land. The land that God had actually promised to these people. And so he's ready to give it to them, ready to give it to them. They're just kind of creeping up on the edge. And then he says this to Moses. So, chapter 13, verse 1. I just want to read a couple of verses here. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan. Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving. And you, if you like to write your Bible or underline, you underline that word giving. Which I am giving to the Israelites. So I'm going to give this to you. And from each ancestral tribe, send me one of its leaders. So we can be done right there just for a second. All right. My first thought this morning was simply this. God's adventure starts with an invitation. God's adventure to you always starts with an invitation. God has made it very clear in verse 2 what he wants. He's inviting Moses to an invitation. And not only that, he's actually inviting some others. He's saying, I'm going to give you this. Go get 12 guys to go and check it out. That's kind of how it starts. And people have said to me, well, what does that mean in terms of adventure? And how am I supposed to know that God's inviting me to an adventure? I want to go really basic just for a second here. When people up front on the stage, when a pastor or whoever's speaking, when they say, God has told me to do something, what does that sound like? Because people ask me that all the time. And maybe, I don't know if it's you or not, but people have said, what does that mean? God told you to do something. Do you hear something? It's a great question, right? I mean, it really is. I have friends that, people I know, and they're like, what do you mean God talks to you? How do you hear something? And I think it's a very fair statement. And so, I'll be honest, I've never heard God speak to me in an audible voice. I'm not saying that he doesn't. Maybe he has to you. I'm not going to put him in a theological box. But if God's never talked to me with a big voice from heaven saying, Paul, go do this. Maybe he has to you. If he has, I think you're, well, maybe he has. I'm not going to say you're insane, but maybe he has. If he did, we probably would think you're insane. We probably would. But I'm not saying you are. It's kind of weird like that. But throughout Scripture, God spoke to people in many different ways. He spoke to Abraham with an audible voice. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. He once spoke through a cloud. He once spoke to a guy named Paul through a great light. He once used a donkey, and he spoke through a donkey in the Old Testament. That always gives us hope as ministers that God can use us. But for me, here's how he speaks. I just want to make this really clear. Now, I know this is for some of you. You get this, but for me, oftentimes I just get impressions. Yeah, bless you. I get impressions or thoughts, feelings, and most of the time it's when I'm reading God's word. And as I'm reading God's word, because God's word, this is all about his revelation. If I want to know God, I want to read this book and he reveals himself in it. So if I want to be challenged and I read the scriptures, chances are it's going to happen. And I will begin to sense, you know what, maybe I should make these same changes in my life. If God is a God who is this and this and this, I need to make sure that this stuff, and it's impressions, it's promptings of God's Holy Spirit. And that's how God, at least for me, that's how God speaks to me. Many times it's just in the quiet. You remember the story, I don't know if you do, there's a story of a guy named Elijah in the Old Testament. He was a prophet. 1 Kings 19. Do we have a verse? I think we do, right? Here's what this says. Verse 11. He wanted to hear from God, and not only that, he wanted to see God. Verse 11 says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I think that many times God speaks to us in a quiet, still voice. When I'm reading scripture, when I'm alone, out in the water, when I'm hiking up a hill, many times for me, that's when I feel God's presence in my life. And that's when I look at things and I go, you know what, I need to make some changes. Our lives are so filled with busyness and loudness and clutter, we almost cannot stand it when things get quiet. We are distracted by life at every turn, even in this room. I mean, honestly, How many times does a cell phone go off in this during the service? It's almost absurd. We have a whole slide for it. Always have. How many times does a child cry? How many times do you hear someone snoring? I mean, it's all, right? It's unbelievable how much. Even I go outside at night to walk my dog, I can still hear the hum of the traffic on the freeway. Just a few days ago, my wife and I caught a few minutes alone. We suddenly realized we were alone in our house, and it was quiet. And I felt uncomfortable, so I turned on the TV. I didn't want to have to talk to her. I mean, it's just, we just love to be surrounded with noise. We hate silence. Yet God says, John 10, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Have you heard his voice lately? Have you heard God speak to you? Because I think that God is at work around us all the time. And that God regularly calls us to join him in his activity. But do you know what that voice is like? And I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to think about what that means. Do you know your Heavenly Father's voice and his promptings? Because if you don't, I just think that begins to be sad. I wonder if God's calling you to something, to go somewhere, to serve him in some way, but you're just so busy that you cannot hear him. Or maybe worse, you just don't want to hear him, so you don't read it. You don't read the scriptures. And you keep the volume up loud. And you just stay as busy as you can because you don't want to go on an adventure. But what if somewhere right in front of you, there was a moment that could change your life forever? What if right in front of you today, there was a moment that could change your life forever? A moment rich with potential, filled with endless possibility. And what if God was inviting you to join him on this great adventure? It could change your life. Would you want that? Maybe we just need to be still and listen. Because God's whispering, what are you doing here? Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. Maybe this week, the best thing we can do is just pay attention to what our Heavenly Father is calling us to do. My second thought this morning was this. God's adventure requires obedience. This is pretty straightforward. Very difficult to do. It requires obedience. Verse 2, it said this. Remember it said this? Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. Okay, now let's fast forward to verse 27. You have your Bible, your scriptures. Verse 27 says, they gave Moses this account. So now they're back. Okay, they went and explored the land, now they're back. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here, see, it's fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there, which is, I guess, a bad thing. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Gazentites live in the hill country. It just goes on and on, right? Like, come up with a better name already. Live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. They still do today. And then, oh, here we go. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses, and he said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we could certainly do it. But the man who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. God's adventure requires obedience. It doesn't require, look, I mean, it didn't say, go explore the land and then make a decision based on your own judgments whether or not you think I can give you this land. It says, be obedient to what I'm going to give you. This kind of blows me away, the fact that they wouldn't do it. Here's the dilemma. The dilemma is that we have choice. God has given each of us free will. He has given you choice. And choice is the key to unlocking God's adventure for you. This is perhaps the greatest expression of being created in the image of God. The most spiritual activity that some of you will do today is choose. Right. Think about that. You will have choice. Things like prayer, meditation, worship music, those are all there to draw us closer to God. But choice determines your destination. It will chart your course. And Caleb listens to God's call, and he makes a choice to be obedient in spite of the opposition, in spite of the people saying, I'm not going to go. And when it comes to choosing to follow God, I think we all have lots of opposition. I think we have lots of opposition. My calendar, for example, is an opposition, isn't it? Choosing to follow God rarely comes at a convenient time. I wish God would check my Google calendar before he calls me to do something. I'm busy for the rest of my life. No. You know what I mean? Many of us choose not to follow God's adventure because it's inconvenient. It may just cost too much. It may cost too much in time or in resources. You know what? It's inconvenient. It's opposition. Maybe it's fear. These people said, we're afraid that the people will devour us. That was the phrase they used in verse 32. To me, that sounds like our culture. We're just so afraid of everything in this culture. Our kids are going into junior high. We're afraid they'll get devoured. They're going to high school. Maybe it's college. Mistakes just get higher and higher, right? We're afraid our kids are getting devoured in this culture. It just keeps us in gridlock. Maybe it's work. We're afraid to mention anything about God at work in case we get devoured. In case he says, oh, you're not allowed to do that. You can't say that. Oh, don't do that. We're afraid to say anything to our friends that we go to church. We're afraid to make a difference. We're afraid. A few weeks back, I went on an adventure with 60 kids from our Club 45. Jill runs our Club 45. This would be 4th and 5th grade kids. These kids are 9 and 10 years old, and I went on a retreat with them. It's called Club 45. I've renamed it. I've petitioned Jill. It's going to be called Insanity. Maybe Where the Wild Things Are. I don't know. Something like that. I have a couple of pictures. Don't put them up yet, Ryan. Okay? Or, there you go. Maybe not. So the last night of our retreat that we were there, Michael, one of our other leaders, he comes up and he went to one of the main people at the camp. And he said, hey, listen, I know that some of the kids got to go zip lining earlier in the day, but not everybody got to go. Can we please go? So let's see that first picture. Can you show that one? So this is the zip line that some of the kids got to go to. We need to pray for the kid at the bottom. He looks a little insane. His last name is Murray. Pray for me. And they all wanted to go ziplining, and it looked cool. It's great. Look how high it is. It's about 80 feet in the air. And the first time we went, I was in the next picture. We have a picture of Caleb, and this was his new girlfriend. He literally got her phone number. I'm worried about the kid, but good for him, man. Anyway. just leave it there for a second, Ryan. So we're ready to go. And Michael got permission for us to go later that day. And so we told all the boys, is Michael here? I don't know. So we told all the guys, we're like, come on, we're going to go. But not only are we going to go, we're going to go at night. And so the kids were excited, but the kids were pretty, apprehensive to go, because, man, are you kidding me? And suddenly we go, and it was awesome. And these kids are insane rowdy, and they are squirrely and excited. And there's a long walk all the way there. You finally get there. And then the guy starts going over everything you're going to do. And you have to put on the harness correctly. And he's double checking and making sure everything's good and hooking you up. And finally you walk up to the main area. And it's just cool, man. We're up super high. And it was a bright moon that night. But it was still really dark because you're in the forest. They gave us these fluorescent glow collars. You couldn't see the ground. You could barely see each other. Here's a picture of me and Love at night. mean, it was just dark out. And suddenly, I watched as these squirrely, insane, where the wild things are kids, as that person led them off the edge, and they said, here's what I want you to do. Here were their eyes. Walk a little further. A little further. A little further. Start to lean in. And these kids, who were completely disobedient the whole trip, were hanging on every single word. You know why? Because when you are on an adventure, you will listen to the instructor. And my hunch is that there are times in our lives that we've forgotten to listen to the instructor simply because we're not on an adventure. Oh, I can do it on my own. I got it. It's no biggie. You know what? I do zip lining all the time. I've done it lots of places. And I listen to it, and I'm like, come on, Caleb, let's go. And I'm about to jump off, and the lady says, hey, don't forget, keep your hands over. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. We just start to take life like we can handle it. And maybe we just need to jump off and take an adventure and take a risk and share your faith or do something. But just get out of the stands. Be willing to take a step off the ledge. Trust God. Got to take the risk. Third thing, just briefly. Ultimately, an adventure with God requires, just like that, it requires taking the step. Numbers 13, verse 30, said, then Caleb silenced the people. Remember that? Silenced the people before Moses, said, hey, we should go take possession of the land. Let's do this, is what he's saying. Let's do this. But the people complained and they were angry and they disobeyed and God got angry and God punished them. And they had great contempt and arrogance toward God and God punishes the people. Chapter 14, verse 24 reads, but because my servant Caleb has a different spirit than you and he follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land that he went to. Verse 30, but not one of you will enter the land that I swore with uplifted hand to make your home. Except for Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua. Two of the 12 got to go. The rest ended up dying. The rest, because of their disobedience, talk about punishment. Prefer a spanking, please. They ended up dying in the desert. Some of them died at that moment because God was so angry with them. What keeps us from taking the first step? You know, ironically, I think that many times the thing that keeps us from taking a real step with God is the same thing that God has blessed us with, the things that God has given to us. It's our stuff. I like my home. I like my cars. I'll do anything to keep them. And suddenly those things that God has given you have become obstacles in truly following him on his adventure. Those gifts become idols. We spend so much time in worry and trying to keep up with everybody else. We're literally idling. We're in neutral. It's hard to follow God when you're in neutral. I want you to know it is possible to hear someone's voice, to plan on being obedient, but to not take the first step. It's possible to do that. It happens to me almost every Monday. My wife will say to me on Mondays, honey, it's garbage tonight. I'm going to take the garbage out. I'm coming tomorrow. I got it, dear. No worries. A couple hours later, honey, sweetheart, have you done the garbage? I got it. You know the story, right? I got it, dear. I will do it. So I've heard the voice. I plan on being obedient. I will be obedient. I just need to take the step. I got it already. Just don't sweat it. And then, laying in bed, late at night, head deep in the pillow, my wife will lean over and whisper, hey, honey, take out the garbage. And fluster. I wonder if we just need to listen and obey and take that step. think many times we live vicariously through William Wallace, Maximus Aurelius. We were created for adventure, yet we settle for drama. We love the gossip. We're the desperate housewives that love to watch Desperate Housewives. Is there something that God wants you to do in your life, or are you resisting? Is there anything in the way? Is there something that you hold up more important than what God is calling you to? Because maybe there is. My hope is that you'll be coming up for breath. You'd be excited to go into the world during the week, just going for it. And then coming back here and telling others about it. But you got to take the step. You know, we're moving into the season of what we call Lent. And part of the tradition of Lent is to be able to come before God and give something up in recognition of all that he's given up for us. And really, I was talking with my friend Steve about it this week, and he reminded me that for many people, it's not just about giving something up to remind us about God and what all that God has done, but using that time to really dig in. If I'm giving something up, then that frees me up to dig into God and to go on that adventure and to explore who he is. And maybe that's what this time is to say, you know what, I'm really going to get into the Word of God. I'm going to take a couple of minutes every day, whether it's early in the morning or whether it's late at night, and I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to find that time. I'm going to create that time and look for those opportunities. Maybe that's what we need to do, and to just quietly give it up and come before God with that. That's my challenge to you. That's my challenge. This morning, we're also going to do communion. And I wanted to do it differently. And not just me, but there's a few of us that have talked about this. And maybe this is even symbolic of this message. To be able to get up out of your seat and to go and actually have relationship with God. And to be there in the moment. Not to be served, but to serve. And to be willing to look around and say, I'm going to go on the adventure. And not to just walk out of here, but to come before our Heavenly Father and to break bread. And so that's my prayer this morning, that we can consider doing that. So let me pray, and then we'll go into the communion time, all right? Heavenly Father, we ask that you would do a work in our lives. And that, God, we would pay close attention to all that you are doing, and that we would join you in that. And that, Father, that if there's anything we need to give up, whether it's the stuff that we love, maybe more than you, if there's anything in the way, that we would be transparent enough with ourselves or wrestle with some of these things just so that we can come before you and that we can worship you. We just want to worship you. So, God, we just commit this time. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, so here's what we'd like to do with...